We have a big surprise coming at the end of the service, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. We're not going to do communion today. We're going to do something else, which is really fun, and something we haven't done for many, 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 many years at this church. So I'll just leave it at that, give you something to look forward to. Suzanne's going to take pictures. It'll be happening very soon. So anyways, we're going to get started. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 Corinthians. To the men's group, I sent the wrong passage out. It's 1 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. I'm Dave Householder, blessed to be your senior pastor. Half the church is out setting up for the big wedding this afternoon with Heather and Sean. We're really excited about that. I'm going to start with a picture of Fabio. Some of you don't know who Fabio is, but I had a coworker once who set her computer to talk like Fabio, which was fascinating. The reason I have Fabio here is he has lots of hair, and so did Samson. Samson was a spirit-filled man. The Bible says so. The Spirit of the Lord filled him, and he did big stuff. But even if you're spirit-filled, you can get messed up by having the wrong people in your life. Let me say that again. Even if you're spirit-filled, you can get messed up by having the wrong people in your life. Jen was up here playing just now, and the anointing hit her while she was playing. And part of the reason the anointing hit her this morning is she's got her fan club here. You guys, all of you are in Jen's fan club. Would you raise your hand so people know who you're talking about? They're sitting right here. Seriously. This is what this message is about. This message is about people in your life who want the best for you. Let's repeat that. We need to surround ourselves with people in our lives who want the best for us. And I guarantee you these five people want the best for Jen when she's leading worship. So they're interceding and supporting while she's up there, and we all benefited from that this morning. There is something really important about making friends with people who mean the best for you. Samson didn't do that. It's really important that you pick a spouse, those of you getting married, who wants the best for you. When I first met Wendy, I have never met anybody of all the people I dated who wanted the best for me more than Wendy. Wendy just genuinely wanted me to do well in life, and I wanted her to do well. And by the way, that's the best reason to get married. The best reason to get married is to be with somebody who wants the best for you. Wants you to succeed. It's not a speed bump, but is a tailwind. Somebody who pushes you forward in life. Somebody who wants you to do great. Samson didn't have the same courtship skills. Samson said to his father, "Look at that woman. She's hot. Go get her for me." I mean, he didn't even go talk to her. He asked his dad to go pick her up, and he literally says in Hebrew, "She's hot. Go pick her up for me and get her for me. I want her." So this is a sort of insensitive pickup line, but Samson ended up with Delilah. And Delilah was hot, but Delilah did not want the best for Samson. Delilah wanted to bring him down. We don't want to be around people who want to bring us down. We want to be around people who lift us up, people who bring out the best in us. Who thinks being the son of God is a pretty cool thing and would tempt, if you were the son or daughter of God directly, well, you are, you know, we all are, but if you were like the only begotten daughter or son of God, who thinks it would be tempting not to need people around you? It'd be tempting, wouldn't it? Jesus called the 12. And when he was in serious trouble, when he wanted to raise the dead, when he was facing his death at Gethsemane, when he went up on the mountain for the transfiguration, he brought with him Peter, James, and John. He brought with him this corner here. This corner to Jen is like Peter, James, and John to Jesus. If the Son of God needs people in his corner, we need people in our corner. And we need to cultivate those relationships, because things can go south really quickly. Let's read this passage out loud together. 1, 2, 3. "Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character." We become the sum total of the people we spend the most time with. most people, if you take the four or five people you spend the most time with, have an income roughly the average of those four or five people. Have roughly the same percentage of overweightness, the same fitness, the same sociability. We become like the people we're around, which is why we don't want our kids to get in with the bad crowd, because they become like, and so do we. It's not just kids. We become like the people we're around. Hit the prayer group this morning. Said, if you want to be lean, hang around lean people. And Sebastian said, but if you want to look lean, hang around fat people, which I thought was pretty funny. That was a little bit of levity in the prayer meeting. We're not always just spiritual in the prayer meeting. Don't have to write that note down. 1 Corinthians 15:33. We're going through the 12 rules for life from Jordan Peterson's book. Last week, let's read this out loud. Last week, 1, 2, 3. Treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. If you were your own guardian and the other you was your foster kid, how would you treat yourself and how would you discipline yourself and how would you go easier on yourself in some ways and harder in others? Treat yourself like someone you're responsible for helping. Why? Because you are made in the image of God. And so is everyone else. So we need to treat everyone else with respect and ourselves with respect. Say after me, I am made in the image of Almighty God. When I see him someday, I will notice the family resemblance. We're a lot more like God than we're like anything else in creation. We're made in his image, and we need to respect ourselves and others. Today, we're going to talk about make friends with people who want the best for you. Next week, compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today. Improve 2% over yesterday. It's not a matter of comparing yourselves to others. Who thinks people in California do a lot of comparing to other people? It happens a lot. If you grew up with brothers and sisters, you know all about that. Here's the reason why we need to pick our friends carefully. And please hear me. This doesn't mean we don't help people who are doing badly, but we don't bring them into our inner circle. Jesus helped, who thinks Jesus helped a lot of people? Did he put them in with Peter, James, and John? No. Your homies, the people you hang out with, need to be people who want you to move forward and do the best you can. And you don't bring people you're helping into that group. You move forward with that group. This is a game I used to love to play called Chutes and Ladders. Do they still have Chutes and Ladders? It's a fun game. And it illustrates a point. It's a lot harder to move forward and go up in life than to go down in life. Who thinks it's easier to lose all your money at a casino than it is to earn $500,000? It's a lot easier to lower your standards than to raise them. Raising your standards is ladders. Lowering your standards is chutes, slides. It's easy to go downward. And the truth is, some of the most welcoming people are people at the bottom of the pile. I moved to Minnesota in 9th grade. I was living in a small town, and I moved to a big city. And I looked out at the lunchroom my first day there, holding my tray, thinking, ooh, there's a sea of people, more people than I was used to seeing in one swoop of the eye. Where am I going to sit? And in Minnesota, you don't eat outside because it's freezing. It's a big lunchroom. So there you are with your tray, your big plastic tray. And who's the most welcoming people? The drug addicts. And all the drug addicts are waiting. New kid, come on over here. It took me a week or two to figure out that this was not the place to be sitting. But very often, those people are the most welcoming into their circle because they want to get you in trouble like they're in trouble because it makes them feel better about being in trouble. And it took me a while to figure that out, and I got out of that quickly. But, you know, you just don't know that at first. And sometimes the people most eager to have you in their circle are people who are people you shouldn't have in your circle. Now, this doesn't mean don't love everybody. This doesn't mean don't mix with people. Jesus mixed with tax collectors and sinners, but they weren't his homies. The man who all the demons went out and went into the pigs and went into the sea, and he was called Legion because he had so many devils in him. He asked, "Can I come and follow you now, Jesus?" And Jesus realized he'd be high maintenance. He says, "No, just go back and tell people what God has done in your life." Because he didn't need to bring him into his circle. He brought, told him to go out and witness and give a testimony. And that testimony he knew would strengthen him. And he has to take responsibility for his own life. He'd be tempted to follow Jesus around and just have Jesus make all his decisions. We need to take responsibility for our own lives. It's easier to go down than to go up. It's harder to make friends ahead of us than it is to make friends behind us. And please hear me. We respect everybody. The most broken people we respect as much as our moms. We should. I mean, everyone's made in the image of God. But your inner circle needs to be people that move you forward. Our couples group. We've been together for... how many years have we been together? Way more. A long time. And I can count on everyone in that couples group wanting our marriage to do well, wanting our relationship with our son to go well, and wanting us to do well, and vice versa. We've surrounded ourselves with people who want us to do well. The men's group on Monday mornings, if you've never been there, come to it. There are men there dedicated to the word and dedicated to each other, even if you're there for the first time. Rick's been here once. He showed up, or he's been to the men's group once. He showed up with a beard this time. I didn't recognize him, but those guys are there for you, and they want you to do well. Wendy has a women's group on Wednesdays, and she goes because she believes that there's a lot of women there spiritually ahead of her, and she likes it when it rubs off on her. I know that some of you go with Wendy to that. Surrounding ourselves with the right people brings out the right stuff in us. You hang around people with bad language, what's going to happen to your language? You're going to slip into it. That's going to happen. We want to hang around people who move us forward. And we can get into a trap with helping people. Repeat after me. We can help other people with their problems, but we can't make them our problems. That is the number one rule of ministry. They teach us that as pastors, as trainees. You can help people with their problems and really do try to help people with their problems, but they'll try to have you make them your problems. And this is every counselor, all deal with that. You've dealt with that with accounting, where people try to make their problems your problems. And if they want to go to jail for their tax fraud, you don't need to go with them. You just don't need to do that. He's fired some of his clients because they want John to make their problems his problem. We should always be ready to help people at a moment's notice. But they are responsible for their lives. And we have to make sure that we don't take responsibility for someone else's life because it's too heavy a burden to bear. Always be ready to help, but we don't want to enable people. One of my favorite stories from the whole Bible is Ruth and Naomi. Ruth and Naomi were thrown into a bad situation. Tough stuff going on. A lot of mixed culture, mixed ethnicity, mixed national stuff going on, immigration issues, all kinds of things. Which country are we going to live in? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to get food? Our husbands are all dead. What are we going to do? And they learned over time that each one wanted the best for each other. And Naomi finally says, you need to go on and have your life. And what does Ruth say to Naomi? Ruth says to Naomi this. Let's read it out loud. "But Ruth replied, 'Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God.'" Ruth recognized in Naomi, here's a person who wants the best for me. And Naomi gave her all kinds of great advice. And she ended up marrying Boaz and becoming one of the ancestors of Jesus, for goodness sake. Ended up in the royal line by following that advice. And you might have someone 40 years older than you who wants the best for you. It might be someone 20 years younger. It might be someone you see less often. But those people, the Ruth and Naomi people, are people worth cultivating relationships with. People worth going the distance with. People worth sticking with. And we're so distracted by all kinds of entertainment in our culture, we often don't put the energy into relationships that we could. And we need to put energy into those relationships that move us forward. We talked last week about sails. I know that Michael over here has a sailboat. And Michael will tell you that if the sails are all ripped, you're not going to catch much wind. And over time, sails will deteriorate. The illustration we used last week, which we're going to use again, is that if your sail is ripped up, and your sail's going to get ripped up by life, life will shred your sail once in a while. Who here has never experienced failure? The people I know who are doing best here have had some of the biggest rips. Some of the very biggest rips. Some of them early on. And we recover from those rips. And we need to mend our sails, because if we can't mend our sails, the Holy Spirit is like a wind. We can't catch the wind if our sails are shredded. Make friends with people who want to help you mend your sails. In order to do that, you have to show them where the rips are. You have to be vulnerable with them and say, you know, I have a problem with this. I have a problem with that. This is what I love about 12-step groups, all kinds of 12-step groups. They get up and tell each other, I have a rip here. And if they don't, they get smoked out by the rest of them, because their BS detectors are pretty strong, because they've been through this stuff. And the whole idea of a 12-step group is showing people your rips and helping mend the sails. You mend the sails, you start to catch the Holy Spirit. Basically, in 12-step groups, they say, I can't paddle out of this by myself. I need some help from a higher power, the wind. But I need your help as a group to what? Mend the sails so I can catch more wind. Are there people in life you trust enough to show your rips? To show those things that you need to show? Tamara was talking about that. It was last week, the week before. You've got people you go to. And your sails get ripped sometimes. You've been through some storms recently. And you show people those things so you can, together, you can mend the sails, catch the wind, and get moving. That's the key. So here's some practicalities. It's a much shorter message because it's such a simple message. Which three people, Peter, James, and John, most want you to succeed or thrive in life? Not their vision of your success, but they're buying into the vision God's given you. Sometimes parents have a vision for us that's not our vision. You know, oh, he's a good boy. He could have been a doctor. You know, that kind of thing. So very often mothers do want the best for us, but sometimes their vision doesn't match up with, parents don't match up with what our vision is, what God's given us. What three people affirm God's vision for your life? Who's your Peter, James, and John? Peter, James, and John, they didn't know any better. They just went along with Jesus' vision. They didn't seem to know what was going on most of the time, so they just bought into it and did it. Who are those people? Identify them and be more intentional about spending time with them, because those people are going to do it for you. All the men here, I seriously want you to go to the men's retreat. Why? Because it's a Foursquare men's retreat. Who cares if it's Foursquare? Foursquare is the friendliest group you will ever meet. It's like walking into Trader Joe's or In-N-Out or Chick-fil-A. Everybody's just, everybody wants you to do well. You'll see that the minute you get there. There's 400 guys up there from all over the region. And they're going to be so glad to see you. And you're going to be charged up with wanting to live up to what those people see in you. It's an incredibly positive environment. So if you're in town, I want you to go. A bunch of us are going to be there. Identify them and be intentional about your time with them. Regular church going. I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are regular churchgoers. But every single week, to be with people who want the best for you, even if they don't know you that well. There's people in this church who will take 20 minutes after the service today to pray for any rip in your sail you've got. Probably half of this church would be willing to do that, whether or not they know you. Folks, the whole idea of church is being around people who want the best for you. This is a want the best for you club. That's what we do. Because God wants the best for us, and we want to help each other get that. We want to help each other move in that direction. Stan often shows up on Monday mornings during my men's open office hours, May 30 to 11. Ann often shows up. A lot of you often show up, but we encourage each other. And we mend each other's sails sometimes. And it's really cool stuff. So invest in those relationships. Regular church going is really key. Repeat after me. I don't owe toxic people my attention. We can love them. We can try to help them. But we don't owe them our attention because they're going to be looking for it. Toxic people will bleed you dry. We want to be around people who feed us, not people who bleed us. And there will be people who bleed you. And you need to tell them sometimes, I can help you with your problem, but I can't make it my problem. And you need to take responsibility for your life. Whenever I see a young, healthy man begging, I have a conversation with him. I take him aside and say, what's your plan? I care about you. What's your plan? You want to just get better at begging? Or what? Do you have a plan? You have a plan, I'll pray for it right now. And we'll work on this together. But sometimes we need to tell people that they need to take responsibility. Now, there's people who are in really rough shape that can't take responsibility because of different issues. But when I see a young, healthy man standing there begging, if I've got time, I want to talk to him. What's your plan here? Where are you going? How can I help pray for you to move you forward a little bit? Who thinks that's better than giving him a five? I might give him a five. If I bought a girl on the pier a bike one night because I prayed with her, and turns out it was legit. She needed transportation. This was not some thing. But if I wouldn't have talked to her, it wouldn't have happened. So engaging people, but not letting toxic people get your attention. Who's got toxic people in your extended family? If you're not raising your hand, you're in denial. Every extended family has got those people. And you end up sitting next to them at Thanksgiving, you know, Uncle Fred, whoever it is. Smarter, wealthier, healthier. You want to be smarter, wealthier, healthier. Hang around people doing better than you. I've started surfing again a little bit because I haven't seen sharks for a while. And I like to surf around people better than me. I just don't like surfing it where I'm better than other people. I like to surf with people really good because they bring out the best. Wealthier. Do you want to be more abundant? Hang around people. If you want to get out of debt, hang around people who don't have debt. They will start to infect you. And they will start to bring you to a different level. God has all kinds of successful people put out in front of your life that you can hang out with. You want to be healthier, fit? Hang around fit people. Robert's got a six-pack, just like that. If you want to hang around a healthy person, talk to him. Just kidding, Robert, but it's true. We're an average of the people we're around. And we want to raise the average. And growing is harder than slipping back. Slipping back is easy. Chutes and ladders. Ladders is climbing. Chutes is a water slide. We could all be felons by 5 o'clock this evening if we put our minds to it. Think about it. It's easy to go down. Really easy. We could all be in serious trouble by evening. But to raise our lives 5, 10%, that could take months of hard work and discipline. This guy's put a ton of hard work and discipline into his life. Had some setbacks. But the climb is harder, isn't it, than the stroke? Whew, it's fast. Climbing back has been challenging, but you do it through faith. And you're around people who want the best for you. That's key. Looking for an advocate? You want someone to advocate for you? Be an advocate. Be an advocate for someone. Get in the habit of pushing people forward. You can do this. I believe you have what it takes. I can't tell you how many times I've told people you have what it takes, and it's been life-changing. Who remembers Ryan Alexander, who was a pastor up here at Hope a long time ago? He was struggling with ministry and everything else. I said, Ryan, you have what it takes to do great things in ministry. He's now pastoring a church of 7,000 in Minnesota. Whenever he gets discouraged, he calls me, and I always write to him. He says, I know, I have what it takes. But he's starting to believe it. He's doing great. Just, you have what it takes to someone where you know it's true. It's not just, you're not just making it up. I knew Ryan had what it took. He just had it. He's got the stuff for leadership. When you can say that to someone and mean it, it can be life-changing. One phrase. Let's say it together. One, two, three. You have what it takes. Easy to say. Might raise that person a notch or two. So who's in your corner? This is Muhammad Ali, and those are the guys in his corner. Folks, life is a fight. Life is a battle. Who are the people propping you up in the corner when you get bloodied up? Who are the people that are there when you've been hit and you're going to get hit? Being alive means getting hit. It just happens. Who's there for you? Who's going to be on your side, win or lose? You lose the match, which of these three guys will be back next time? Probably all of them. That's probably why he did so well. Was he that physically strong? No, there's a lot stronger boxers than Muhammad Ali out there. But he had support. Good support makes up for a lack of talent any day. So we're going to get into five groups. Got more people today. And here's the discussion questions. They're up on the board. I'm going to have Tamara walk around and take notes again, if you don't mind. That worked really well last week. Okay, we're going to pull people together here. I'm sure you can continue these conversations after church with people. We're going to leave the snacks and stuff up if you want to continue these conversations. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have Tamara kind of sum up the stuff that she heard. Then, here's the surprise. We're not doing communion today. We're going to do a wedding in the service. Yes, we are. And we're going to do. They've already done a real wedding, but this, it's a long story. This is David and Coco, and they're going to be doing a wedding here. They did a wedding on Friday, but the person who did it wasn't licensed. It was a real wedding. It counted. I mean, right? So it didn't really work out. So this pastor friend asked me if we could do that with the license and everything here. So I'm going to deputize Stan as best man and Tamara as maid of honor. And we're going to do that up here. So we'll be doing that. And we're going to pray over them so they get to have a second blessing from people they don't even know. And everybody's going to say, you have what it takes. One, two, three. You have what it takes. There you go. They do. Okay. So Tamara, first, if you'll share what you found out.
Okay, so it was really interesting to walk around and eavesdrop on all of your conversations, as usual. But you all answered like the same questions. You guys were talking about the exact same things. So really short, we all know what toxic people are, right? But it's also on social media, right? Staying away from the negativity. Even in our conversations, if it starts going into a negative, I don't know what that is. But staying away from negative people and negative instances is a big thing. Keeping boundaries. You guys were all talking about, a lot of you were talking about relationships and keeping toxic people away and how you do this, making boundaries. And I've been talking to a friend of mine, like boundaries, 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 boundaries. You have to have boundaries. If you don't, then they start coming in and their problems become your problems and it's a mess. And so if you're in a situation, you start putting boundaries on now, prepare for pushback because it won't be fun, but you can still do it and it's time to do it. How many think little kids need boundaries? Okay, have you seen kids without boundaries? They need boundaries. We need boundaries. We need to know how far we can put, you know, people try to push the envelope, right? But we need boundaries. So keeping boundaries. I thought this was interesting because two different people said it, or two different groups kind of talked about it, is that we can't be those people's rescuers or saviors. There's only one rescuer, and that's God. There's only one savior, right? That's Jesus. you have to steer them towards God and Jesus, being their rescuer and their savior. You cannot rescue anyone. I heard one group talk about, yeah, it's really great, especially like in the school systems or even as adults, we see a group we want to be in, but are they open to us? And so a lot of times they're not open to people below them, you know, right? Whatever that means. They're not open to people below them. And so how do you get into those groups? How do you make yourself, you know, them to be open? And some groups are never going to be open. And that's okay because you don't want to be in those groups. You want to find a group or people that are open and honest and want to help you, because those groups that are closed don't want to help you. They want to help themselves. And they might take you in just to make them be better, but it's not about you. It's about them. So if there's a closed group, don't go into it. Just stay away. Put those boundaries up. You don't want it. You can, you know, might listen every once in a while and learn something, but don't be a part of it. Be only go into groups or with people that are open to you and will be honest and are going to help you and want the best for you. If they don't, then they go by. There's a few of us in here that are very empathetic. And it's called an empath. And you feel, and I'm one of those that I feel what's going on in a room. And I've learned how to, and I don't know how I did it, but I've learned how to kind of not shut it off, but protect myself. Because if you all are having a bad day, that does not bode well for me, because I will feel all that negative energy and I will feel all that heaviness. I know when people are, you know, if I'm letting it fly and want to know, I can tell when people are depressed or whatever, hurting. And it took me a long time to figure out what the heck was going on, because I would walk into a room and, oh, it was horrible sometimes. But there's a lot of people that are very empathetic, and that's great. We need to be empathetic to people, but we can't let it become our problems. We need to be able to put up those boundaries, those barriers, whatever it is, so that they don't take advantage of you, and that you don't make it your problem and you don't suffer with them. You can suffer for them, but not with them. Is that right? I know in my head what I want to say, but I don't think it's coming out right. No one said this, but it came to me while I was listening to the groups. Toxic people are master manipulators. They will tell you anything they think you want to hear. And a friend of mine is dealing with someone like this right now. And unfortunately, they are a caregiver for an elderly person. And that's where a lot of times we see them with the elderly. They're master manipulators. And thankfully, we know this. And whoop, she's going to get the boot. But, you know, my friend has been frantic because she knew it. I knew it. But her husband and his brother did not. And so they thought, oh, she just loves our mom. No, she was manipulating her. She's been stealing. We know she's been stealing from her. We know a lot of different things are happening. And because of her, she almost died. So it took that to finally get into, and a couple other things to happen just recently, to where they're like, she's manipulating us. It's like, she has been for years. We've been trying to tell you. So master manipulator, so be careful of that. If people are telling you everything you want to hear, go to somebody that'll tell you the truth. Because if someone's just telling you what you want to hear, they're not really your friend. They're trying to manipulate you. They want something from you. Or they're just yes people. We see that in, how many of you know the star, Michael Jackson, Justin Bieber, Prince, all these people that get in trouble and alcohol and all that, what do people say to them? Yes. They had no one speaking truth into their lives. And, you know, I don't want any of you to end up like them. So I think that's it. On a happy note, y'all got what it takes to do whatever you need to do.
Let's all stand up. I'm going to have Jen play some wedding music. This is the prayer spot right here for David, and I want to pronounce your name right. It's Akoya. Akoya. So just go ahead and stand right here and hold hands. I'm going to have Stan stand with David and Tamara stand with Akoya. And we're going to have everybody gather around and put your hands on their shoulders. We're going to pray over them. They're going to do vows together. and we're going to sign the legit certificate after. Yeah, I think we're here for a reason today, and it's to give them a second blessing, a special blessing. And they had a real wedding. That was a real wedding, because weddings aren't, they're not sanctioned by the state, per se. It's when they say vows to each other in the presence of God with people they love. That's the marriage. But this is just a second blessing. And I'm going to ask David, repeat after me. I, David, take you, Akoya, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, according to God's holy will. And thereto I pledge you my faithfulness. And Akoya, if you'll repeat after me, I, Akoya, take you, David, to be my husband, to have and to hold, from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, according to God's holy will. And thereto, I pledge you my faithfulness.